Hey, welcome back to The Possibility Show, and this is your host, Jovan, and I'm a business and life coach. Again, another episode that I am quite nervous and excited. The past episode where we had George, someone who I was admiring and watching from afar. And this is another person that I've known for many years. Her name always pops up. She's that popular in the network that I hang out with. And I've watched her, inside a room, training rooms, and admired her from afar. Like literally from afar, because she stays in Canada. Right? So, just having to set up this appointment with her and having to have her in the show and talk to her is really, really exciting for me. And I hope it will really excite you as well. So just a brief introduction or background of our guest today. So she calls herself a life ambassador, but she's also a serial entrepreneur, a speaker, and a coach. So which is something that I aspire to as well, right? So that's why I've been watching her. And she has definitely started a lot of business and met a lot of famous people that I can only dream of. She has spoken in stages and shared those stages with people like Ariana Huffington, Jack Canfield, that guy who wrote, Chicken Soup for the Soul, sound familiar? So those are only a few names that she's been with, and she has met her people like Oprah. Wow. So amazing. And, she has developed a lot of transformational programs as well. And, I could go on because she has achieved a lot. But just to shorten our agony and, get to know her more, I'll introduce our guest today. So let's all welcome Dr. Rain Annie Lim.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here on your show today. And I love that you call it a possibility show.
Yes.
What's possible?
Yeah. And something I didn't tell you this as well, but, the name of the show was we have a common friend, Catherine. And so when I go to Malaysia and hang out with the Money in You people, and I would meet her offline and talk about stuff. And when I was planning the show, I mentioned to her, this is the names that I've been thinking of. Do I call it the Jovan Medrano Show or the Possibility Show? And she helped me point me to the right direction. So she also said, wow, I love that. I love the title Possibility Show. So we have to thank Kathy for that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I will let her know. And, you created a possibilities, just hearing your introduction, and also you had some other amazing guests on your show, and this is what you've created. So thank you for creating all these possibilities for yourself, for me, and for the people who are listening to your podcast.
I love this work. I love this work. So, okay, let's go back to you. And, for the benefit of the listeners, could you describe who Rain is so that they can get a very good picture of you?
Well, my name used to be Annie, so I need to clarify that, because when you Google, you will find Dr. Annie Lim a lot more. Mm. And the last 3 years ago, I changed my name to Rain. Rain was a gifted name because I was doing a spiritual program. I'm actually a reverend. I learned the teaching of indigenous people here. So, I'm grateful that I've got to learn from our ancestors and all the wisdoms that they have passed down. And that's how Rain came about. So now I go by Rain as my name. And I like to introduce myself, a mom of three amazing kids. So I have two boys and a girl. Two of the boys are, they're adults now, 22 and 18 year old. So no longer kids.
Men, they're
men. I know, it's very hard as a mom, to say they are men, very difficult. And my youngest one is a girl. And like you mentioned, I've been an entrepreneur for more than 20 years. I've dived into personal development work for a long time now, also more than 15 years. And throughout my own personal journey of transformation, and I think one of the things that we'll be talking about today is self-love. Mm. And that's something that's really close to my heart, because it was through a couple of things. One, through my own growth, you know, I realized that I'm responsible for everything that I create in my life, right? And then I realized, you know, when I'm responsible, I started looking at my own life. I decided to look at what are my limiting beliefs that's creating my life. So that's one of the core things that, you know, I focus a lot on. And now I teach that very much. And the other thing that I focus a lot in self-love, because I realized through coaching program that I took, you know, I thought I loved myself, but I didn't love myself very much. I was pretty judgmental of myself, you know, in my mind and how I look at myself and how I am and how I look. And through the process of loving myself, then my life started shifting. As you can see, I'm grateful I got to speak on stage with some very amazing people in the world. And also, you know, meet Oprah, which she's on my dream board, you know, many years. And I met her 2 times. So was it last year or the year before? I went on a cruise with her and Gail as well. You know, so things started shifting and my life started, you know, I started creating and achieving a lot of my dreams. And so that's a little bit about myself. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm also an intuitive energy healer as well.
Wow. Like that's a lot. And you know, when I introduced you doctor, because you've taken up a PhD as well, right? And so you have achieved a lot of things. And it's something very interesting. And I know I'm going to be asking you a lot about, you know, your story, your personal story as well. But something interesting that you mentioned that I want to like pick up and talk about as well. So you mentioned, you know, like being really responsible for our life. And could you share more on that as our listeners as well?
Being responsible as in what I...
Yeah, you're like you being really fully responsible. That's what you realize, you know, like being fully responsible with your life.
Right. So let's start with just my relationship, for example. One of the... my husband and I started our business together, and we're actually still in business together. So we've been in business together for a very long time. But as you know, in business also brings up a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. So I remember when I didn't understand that principle, it was easy to blame him. Like he literally, his fault, you know, he's causing this, he's causing me not being happy. He's the reason, you know, he doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. It was just easy blaming him for results in our relationship. It was easy for me to blame the economy at that time. Like, okay, because it was going through a downturn, we lost a lot of money. But when I really understood, I play a role in co-creating all this result. You know, I am responsible, meaning the decisions that I took created those results. No one else did that. You know, I can only make that decision for myself. And that's what, then when I really discovered that, things started shifting. So basically, let's take my husband, you know, it's easy to blame him, but I took a step back. Okay, what was it that I said? What was it? What was my action that I did that created that result? And when I was willing to do that, took a step back and started recognizing, you know, how I co-created that, you know, that our relationship at that time, then I took responsibility and started changing, you know, how I behave, how I approach things, you know, and that started shifting.
And that's fascinating to me because like how we introduce you, like me introducing you and you introducing yourself as well, like achieving all of those things. Like I have this thinking that, or a perception that you were already operating, you know, so someone who is very responsible, who is a go-getter, right? And even though that you have done all of those in your life, you still had to like kind of like learn that as well, discover that for yourself, like being responsible. Well, so what makes me really curious is what drove you, or still, I guess, drives you to achieve all of these things, you know, to do all of these things.
Right now, well, I actually took on Bucky's vision, Buckminster's Fuller's vision. So Bucky, you know, he talks about that we can create a world that works 100% of the time for 100% of humanity. And that's the vision I've adopted for myself. And so right now, that's what drives me. And that's my purpose in life. So having that big vision and purpose, then I started looking at, you know, what areas that I can contribute. You know, what areas that I know I am good at that I can contribute to create that role. And one of those areas, there are a couple, but one area is through education. I'm really passionate about education. And therefore, right now, one of the areas that I contribute is through my transformational programs. So through that. But because of his vision, that's what drives me.
And when was this, like when you got this Bucky's vision? When did you do Money and You, by the way? I never asked, sorry.
I did in November 2006.
Oh,
so it's okay. Been almost 14 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, so when did I catch on his vision? Actually, at Money and You, when I first was introduced to Bucky, and, you know, when I found out that, you know, he, just a lot of his principle resonated deeply with my soul. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I also, at that time, was learning to be an instructor for that program. And we had to, you know, really learn about his principles. And that's how, since then, I adopted that vision of his into my vision in my life.
And before doing Money in You in 2006, like who was Annie Lim? So I use your previous name already. Who is Annie before Money in You then?
Okay. I think before then, it was also similar. My vision was to contribute to humanity. And I'll tell you who was the person that inspired me. When I was really young, I remember watching TV and I saw Mother Teresa on TV. So I can't remember the exact age, but I think it was 7, 8, or 9, somewhere around that age. But all I remember was watching her on TV, and they were talking about this woman, you know, she's out there on the streets, you know, feeding the poor, taking care of the poor. And as a child, she made an impact on me. And I remember, you know, I want to do what she, you know, she's doing. Wow. That's like my thought, like, you know, this is amazing, this woman. And in addition to, because my mom is someone who is very giving, so I've learned a lot of that from her. And my dad does a lot of community service since I was growing up. But Mother Teresa was one that inspired me to have this big vision. And ever since then, you know, I was looking at ways how to contribute. So going to high school, I was active in community service. I was also active in the activities that my dad was involved in. So it has always been part of me. But I think Bucky make it clearer for me. You know, he just kind of clarified, like, we can create a wall that works for everyone. My goal was just to contribute initially, but then when that vision came, now is how do I get humanity to come together to create that world?
Nice. Wow. And it's amazing because I have this thinking as well that how we will be when we grow up, right? Our parents play a very strong role in that, right? And, you know, like modeling and seeing our parents and you mentioning that your parents are very giving and then they do a lot of, you know, charity work or community service. Yes, it has developed that kind of thinking in you as well. So that's fascinating.
Yes, they have. But I do want to say there is I think I've learned how to be giving. However, and this will relate to the self-love piece, you know,
yes, sure.
Because this one of the things that I teach is self-love, right? And people always ask me, what's the difference between selfish and self-love? And one of the things that I also teach is called self-lust.
Self-lust,
right? So you're very selfless, very selfless, you know, you're just
selfless,
gifted.
Selfless, right?
Very selfless.
Okay.
And so that's one thing I've learned from my mom. It's, you know, just keep giving. But at the point that you don't take care of yourself, and I took some of that on too. And at some point in my life, when I started recognizing all this, you know, in the works that I learned, and this is some of the works that I teach now, I recognized that to the detriment of myself, I gave. But, you know, kind of like the oxygen analogy, right? The oxygen mask, you want to put mask on yourself, but I didn't. I kept putting for everyone else, and I became, you know, depleted, and I had no more energy from myself. Then in return, that caused even more impact and consequences on, you know, my relationship with other people, because then I was empty. So, you know, there's a lot of goodness that came, But I, you know, I, in hindsight, you know, I also learned to be overgiving.
And when did you realize that you were like doing that?
When I actually took a project on, I had a coach at that time, and my coach wanted me to take on a project of loving myself. It was ironic. I remember I told my coach, "What do you mean? I don't need a project to love myself. I love myself. What are you talking about?" Right? And my coach said, "No, you don't." And then, but then, you know, I took a step back as usual to be open and see, okay, what is she pointing to? And, you know, I started investigating. So it became a project, right? Mm. And I started looking and I realized, yeah, I wasn't. And part of not loving myself was I was overgiving, sacrificing myself. And that's how I discovered it.
Mm. And could you give some more examples of, I think, like for me as well, and for the listeners to be able to have this kind of like clues to know, hey, like really, I'm not loving myself. Maybe you can give more examples to help us with that.
Yeah, an example, not loving yourself is not to have healthy boundaries, for example, mm. right? So boundaries, when you don't want, you really want to say no, but you felt obliged, obligated, or maybe, there's a lot of, all this comes from a lot of our belief system, which drives our behavior. You might feel like you need to please people, you want their approval. So you started saying yes, right? But then because you started saying yes, you then become resentful over it. So that's where you're not loving yourself. You're not honoring who you are. You're not respecting your own needs. You're not valuing who you are. You know, so boundary is one thing, right? So it's really knowing when to say yes and when to say no, for example. Mm. Yeah, so that's an example.
Yeah. Like I think it has, like for entrepreneurs, who I normally work with, and those who have this kind of like sense of responsibility, right? Like they want to take on a lot of it. When things come up, okay, I'll do that. Okay. Or someone says, oh, can you help me with this? Oh, okay, sure. I'll do that. And then in the end, they take on a lot, like what you were saying as well. Then you get depleted because you kind of like give, but you weren't really like, oh, this is something that I really want to do and energizes me, right? So it does come up a lot for people, you know, especially for entrepreneurs. And maybe we can start talking about self-love more as well. Like to you, what will be some of the keys in order to develop self-love in a person?
So if you don't mind, I'll take a step back first. Sure. And talk about selfish and self-love, because I know people tend to have a confusion about what's selfish and self-love, because that, you know, some of the actions that they take is like, am I not selfish if I do that? So sure, I want to kind of add that. So to me, I use an analogy of, I'll give an analogy with water. So think about, you have a cup of water, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have so the cup of water is kind of like love, okay? And then you, another cup, it's you. And this cup, for example, right now, if there's a hole in it, so if you were to pour water and it keeps coming off, that's being selfless. You just keep giving that you know, the love away, right? So you're not holding anything for yourself. Whereas someone who is selfish doesn't care about how everyone is. They only take care of themselves. So they're going to take everybody's water and just put it into their cup. So they don't deplete people. That's their goal, right? But self-love, if you use that analogy, think about your cup. When you're pouring water, it's you fill up your own cup first. When it overflows, you're giving the overflow to people around you. So it's important to take care of yourself first, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a very good analogy.
Yeah, so self-love, ultimately, it comes back to a couple of things that I've said. There are a few components. One is, you know, are you respecting and honoring yourself? So it's, if you think about, we tend to respect other people. Some people that we adore, or we you know, they are they have been very significant in our life. We can respect them. We can respect their time. We respect, yet very often we don't respect our own time. Mm. We don't respect, honor what we need. We can spend time, for me, one of the things that I learned when I was doing the project, self-love project, I realized I was giving my kids a lot. Like, oh, you know, everything was, my kids was number one, right? So I was giving, giving, giving. But then, you know, at the end, I get very tired, exhausted. And guess what? When I'm tired, exhausted, I get cranky. I'm actually not fun to be around with, right? Because I have no more energy. And, but that's what happened. I'm not taking care of my own needs. I'm taking care of all their needs only, but not taking care of what I need. I might need just maybe 30 minutes of time off so that I can rejuvenate. I can have some time for myself. Then I can meet their needs. So it's really important to honor and respect yourself in that aspect. You know, so start looking in your life. Are you doing that?
Okay. So that's one, respect and honor yourself. And right. And before you continue, so I'm like thinking for parents. So, well, I have sisters who are parents already, and they would, and since I don't have any kids, right? Like, I feel I don't have any right to to actually tell them something or share something with them. And sometimes, like, one of my sister would say, you know, like, this is how she thinks it should be. Like, she gives a lot to her kid. And I noticed that, like, when you explained it, like, it really drains her. And, you know, coming from personal development and as a coach, I can see it clearly. And, you know, I would tell, you know, like, take more time for yourself, you know. But she's just like, you know, this is something that I have to do, you know. And so how would you approach someone like that?
I would encourage the mom, back to, you know, what I was sharing, like, myself, my kids were my priority. But then when I learned to put myself first as the first priority, and instead of meeting my needs, I actually got happier. I was more fun to be around. I had more energy to be with my kids. Rather than when I'm depleted, I can't really be there fully with them, right? And that's what kids really want. So that's one. Secondly, mom or parents who are listening, remember your children model you. Do you want your children to do that for themselves? Do you want your kids to not take care of themselves and not take care of their needs? Because if you don't want them to do that, you don't do that. Otherwise, that's how kids learn. We model. We don't. It's not just what you say. We literally just model. We imitate a lot. A lot of us do that, right? And so that's one good reason for parents, you know, to look at themselves and just say, do I want my child to do that? Just know how to give, give, give. Ultimately, they are exhausted, tired. And, you know, when you're exhausted, tired, you have nothing left. You are not fulfilled, satisfied, or happy. And that's not what any parents want. We want our kids to live a fulfilling, happy, healthy life, right? So that's what I would encourage our parents to think about.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and, you know, the benefits of it. Cool. And so just to continue the conversation, so you said respecting and honoring ourselves, our time, and what else would be, you know, some keys for self-love?
Well, so there's a lot more things. But the other thing I think that's very prominent that I want to bring up, you know, to love yourself is to, you know, how often, very often, you know, how one of the things that I learned not loving myself is that because I judge myself a lot. Okay. I didn't realize how much I was judging myself. So I was judging myself from how I was thinking, you know, my thoughts. I was judging about how my physical look was, like, how, you know, there are parts of my body that I was judging. Right. I was judging emotions that I was having initially. Like, you know, before I understood all emotions are equal, I was judging anger, for example, that I cannot be angry. And the key to loving yourself is actually not to judge yourself, is to love yourself. And if when you're judging, is to not judge your judging, you see, because very often we layer another layer to it, which means we're doing more of it. The goal is to, okay, you know what, to love yourself when you're judging. So let me give you an example. So let's say I'm judging on my look. When you're hearing that judgment, is to not, judge yourself. Like, how can I be judging myself, right?
Yeah.
The key is to, okay, you know, I get it. You're judging yourself. But then the judgment comes from a belief system. Then it's just to work through that belief system. That's the key. And to me, this is what I see missing when I teach Loving Yourself program. We miss that piece of that double layer of judgment, right? Or sometimes it's also showed up as fear. So, you know, how we are afraid of something, yet we judge our fear as well. It's like, how can you do that? You cannot be afraid, but not realize the judgment, it's also not loving ourselves. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? So, yeah, so I do want to bring this up because very often this is a piece that is missing for a lot of people. It's not noticing the double layer that we're doing.
And how can people practice, start noticing that?
Well, you know, I think you're a coach. So the first thing is just start noticing you're judging. Step number one, right? So if like, you know, your thoughts are going, oh, how stupid I was doing that, or how can I say that, right? And so that's a judgment. So for step number one is to notice your judgment, number one. And then in that process, right, you know, ask yourself, what is one loving thing can I do for myself right now? So instead of resisting it, you know, just ask yourself one simple question. What's a loving thing I can do? So again, instead of judging the judgment, because the more you judge, as you know, what you resist persists, you're just going to create more of it. So yeah, just say, okay, what can I do to love myself right now? Loving me while I'm judging me.
Nice. And I also keep repeating this as well in my own network and on my own followers, is to really use questions, you know, powerful, empowering questions, rather than asking all of those why is this happening to me, why am I like this, you know, and more on like how, or like what you said. So like you mentioned this before we started the show, is that self-love is the foundation of transformational work, right? And so could you speak more about that?
Okay, so to me, it's a foundation of all transformational work, because when you're doing transformational work, you know, it might bring up some old hurts or disappointments or traumas or incident that happened in your life, right? Or maybe mistakes you have done that you felt regret and all that. However, let's say if those stuff come up, you know, and you're judging yourself for all those mistakes that you make, it's going to be very hard for you to create that shift, right? So that's where for me, it's like loving yourself that, okay, I made a mistake at that time. Loving yourself, for me, forgiveness is loving yourself, you know, it's love in action, right? So then, you know, loving yourself through forgiving yourself for the mistake that you've done. So that's why I think loving yourself is a key to all transformational work. And it's very important. Yeah.
And I'm very curious how, I know we're going to be talking about your program about self-love as well in a while. And how can someone help a person start in that process of, you know, self-love?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I think start with paying attention to, you know, asking themselves. I think in step number one, you need to know yourself, right? So you need to beginning to look at, okay, where are areas in your life that you are demonstrating love to yourself? And where are the areas in your life that you're not demonstrating love to yourself? So I think that's a good place to start. And that gives you some awareness, right? At the end of the day, you know, to do any change, we need to have awareness first.
True.
And then the next step is to be willing to do, you know, to take action. You know, awareness is awareness. Without action, you just have awareness. So first of all, start with awareness. Like, you know, start noticing, am I giving myself, you know, there are days that you say, I'm tired. I need 30 minutes just to walk out in the nature. But then you don't do that. But so by being aware, you're starting to realize, you know what, I'm not meeting my needs. I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not loving myself, right?
Yeah.
So that once you start seeing the gap, then you can start closing the gap. So first, you know, just look at areas that you are. So maybe you're someone, you're still doing something fun, you know, you're spending some time playing music, but there are also some areas that you're not. Start with that, I would say. And then, you know, knowing the gaps, then you start creating step, you know, I call it a project. So create a project for yourself that how can you close that gap? So I'll take myself an example. When I did that project my coach asked me to do, I took a step back and look at, okay, what does loving myself mean? I actually said, you know, and then I look back, okay, loving myself means, you know, I would spend, so I it has, you know, it has to be measurable if it's a project, so I know I'm progressing, right? So I, my measurement was, I started looking at time by my, with myself was one thing. Play was a separate thing because I wasn't playing a lot, you know, and I think play is very important. So I was, I started, you know, dividing. So I took 100% and say, okay, loving myself means, you know, X percentage of my time goes into playing. X percent of time, you know, it's me time. Like me time means spa or reading, just quiet. Like there's a me time, right? One of the way that I was measuring was my inner peace. Am I feeling peace internally? Because a lot of time we have all these internal voices or struggle, right? So I was using that as a measurement, as a gauging like where I want to get to. And through this project is how I'm going to get there. So this is an idea. And so that's what I did. I started creating what I want to get at the end. And I then every week, I started breaking down into actions. So little actions. It didn't go from straight away to the results straight away. So I started taking little steps, right? So it's kind of like, let's take time for myself. Initially, it was 0 minutes. Because everything was for my kids and my business. That was literally why I was doing my relationship. Then I started expanding, say, let's do 15 minutes this week every day for me. So I started doing that. Okay, 15 minutes, you know. And actually, that's really hard because my this voice is going like, you're a mom, you can't do that. You know, your kids need you, right? So that's where I meant, instead of judging that voice, is loving that voice and working with it. It's just telling you a need that's not being met, that's all. Right? So I worked through it. So then 15 minutes started expanding to 30 minutes, started expanding to longer and longer. And that's what I did. You know, so there was playtime. So like weekends now, I consciously don't work. And unless there's very urgent stuff, but I made it a point, I don't do work anymore. When I used to live in Malaysia, I used to work weekends.
Man, tell me about it. Like, I mean, I'm in Singapore and I work weekends too.
Yeah. And when I came to Toronto, I started realizing, you know, that's not healthy, right? So that's what I meant by take, you know, step by step and start, start creating to what you want at the end.
Nice, nice. So yeah, I think that's a great segue to, you know, to talk about this program that you gonna come up with. And I, honestly, I, based on our common friend Katty, understanding some of your programs like the Seeds Leadership Program, I know that your programs are amazing and great. I've heard a lot from, you know, common friends, people from Money and You as well who have attended, and they say a lot of great stuff about it. So this program that you are going to come up with, it's called Heart of Loving Yourself. And it's going to be coming up very soon. Could you share more about this program, this online course, right?
Yes, it's actually an in-person retreat. When I first created it, it was for women. Because I kind of, you were talking about your sister, and I kind of related to my own life, being a woman, being a mom. And I started, and I have a women organization where I work with a lot of women entrepreneurs. I realized women has a tendency to not really take care of themselves. They're really good at nurturing other people, but they don't nurture themselves very much. So then I decided to create, you know, and through my own personal journey of loving myself, a lot of things started shifting in my life. I created this retreat for women specifically. You know, I wanted them to really start learn, you know, it's, I mean, it's ironic. We have to learn to love ourselves, but that's the truth. I had to learn to love myself too. And so the intention was that. And so because of the pandemic, I've decided to take, you know, some of the content and created an online version of it. So we ran the first program already with my graduates within the community, and they all loved it. You know, so I've been getting very good review. And so now I've decided to, we'll be launching it to the public soon. And it's a 3 months program. So basically you'll be 12 weeks of calls online. And then I'll walk you through really examining all the different parts, which, you know, your question, how would I know? So the program actually walks you through, start noticing your thoughts, you know, are you having loving thoughts, or what kind of thoughts do you have? And then, you know, using some of the tools and techniques, you know, to start shifting that, right? And through the activities that you'll be doing, then we'll dive into emotions, right? You know, when you're having certain emotions, do you judge yourself or do you love yourself in the process of that? So we'll look into emotions. Then we'll look into your physical, your body, you know, are there parts of your body that you're actually judging or you hate? That's not loving yourself, right? Because you're beautiful and you're unique. And so we walk through that process, and then we'll also touch a bit on relationships, right? How you interact with really in relationships. And in the process of that, you know, learning to trust yourself, to listen to yourself, your inner guidance. And at the end, you know, we end with, there will be parts of about, you know, how do you respect yourself, honor yourself, all that, value yourself. But at the end, we end with really, you know, are you committed to yourself? Right. At the end of the day, are you committed to yourself to create that life that you want, to love yourself, because you are the soulmate that you've been looking for. There's no one else ultimately, isn't it? Because you're here living your life. So the intent is to walk you through step by step in discovering, you know, the gaps and then closing them through the activities, through the teachings, and yeah, pretty fun assignments that I give you, I would say. Very fun ones.
Nice, nice. And it's 12 weeks. Wow. And so who would be like perfect to come and do this online course?
So this online is no longer just designed for women. So it's actually for anyone who are up to really, you know, like I said, self-love is the foundation of any transformational work. So if you're up for personal development, you think your life is stuck, or you are aware that you don't know how to love yourself, you're really judgmental of yourself, or you're going through a pretty hard time, you know, this is a program that you would want to look into. Like I said, I walk you through, and it's not just a online, like a video. I'm actually there working with you, because that's what I like to do. I like to dive deep with people and kind of work through, maybe they have some belief system that shows up. I'll coach you through and also work through some healing with you on those calls. My intention is for you to, you know, really experience transformation in the program. So it's not just a video that you watch and then you have some assignments to do. I'm literally walking you through the process.
And so let's say I have a friend who, a girl friend, not girlfriend, girl friend, that, you know, is interested to join. Like, what would be, like, they do this program, and then what can they, like, expect coming out of finishing the program?
I guess I can give you some testimony that would be the easiest for me. So, for example, one of the participants recently, she's actually a good friend of mine. And so she took the 8 weeks. Now I've expanded to 12 weeks because I felt that it was just too short. I had a lot more that I wanted to work with. Even with the 8 weeks, one of the things she got out is she used to have this voice inside her head who judges her a lot. Okay. She calls it the royal backstabber. So it stabs her a lot, right? So one of the things that I teach is for people to identify their shadows, because the shadow is a survival mechanism. So she has worked with me around that. And she said that that voice has quieted out so much that it doesn't even, you know, now she enjoys her own company. She feels more peace and more calm in just after going through the program. In fact, the other day she just texted me, and she joined this online exercise group, because I think there's a lot now, this online exercise group it's growing. So she, you know, she can't go to the gym. She joined one. And apparently in the group that they were, she was in, she texted me and said, "Oh my God, all these women needs to do HOLY," because that's the acronym of it. Heart of Loving Yourself is HOLY.
Oh.
Because all these women in this chat are judging how they look and how they, every parts of their body, you know, and that's what she sent me. She texted me and said, "They need to do your program," you know. So that's just one example. So basically, you know, ultimately, like I said, you will start realizing where you're not loving yourself. Through the activities, you start embracing yourself, loving yourself. And we do have a Facebook group that you belong to, where you can continue that journey with the community as well.
Fantastic. So when is this program going to start? This new one, this 12 weeks?
That tentatively, it will start sometime, I'm expecting, mid-September. So we are still in the midst of preparing all the marketing materials right now.
Fantastic.
Hopefully within the week, we'll be able to launch all that. Mm. Yes.
Fantastic. And yeah, so hopefully by the time that this is published, you know, their information. But if, let's say, for example, they heard this and they want to know more about it, or they want to get in touch with you, where would be the best way, or how would be the best way to do that?
Right now, they can go to my website, I guess, reinhardtwisdom.com. Mm-hmm. So they can sign up for the newsletter.
Okay.
So that way they can get in touch with me. So that's one way they could do that.
Cool. And do you normally use social media? Let's say, for example, they private message you and things like that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, so as you know, I also started an online show called Reinhardt Wisdom Show recently because of the pandemic. I wanted to continue to support people. So my show is called Reinhardt Wisdom Show. So they can find me on YouTube channel. I have also a Facebook page as well. It's called Reinhardt Wisdom. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So once you type in Reinhardt Wisdom, you'll be able to connect with me.
Cool. And then they can just message you to ask anything, right?
Yep.
Nice. All right. Cool. And I really do hope, you know, like the listeners who are listening to this, if you are that person that Rain was describing earlier, you know, do think about it, but still act on it, right? Still act on it. Because that's what makes the difference, right? Acting on things. Cool. And it's lovely having this conversation with you, Rain. And before I end this interview, I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you. So I call them quick fire questions. So the first one is, what are one or two books that made a huge shift in your life?
Oh my God, one or two is hard. Because there's so many amazing books out there. But one book that I recommend a lot is called The Dark Side of the Light Chaser by Debbie Ford. So this is where she teaches you to work with your shadow. You know, that's a work that I'm also very I'm passionate about. Working with your shadow, it's not about, again, not about judging them and hating. It's about loving your shadow and embrace and integrate, right? Mm. So that's one of the books that I really love. The other one that comes to my mind is A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. So that's another awesome book. You know.
Nice. Cool. Okay. So the next question is, what's an unforgettable failure that created an unexpected opportunity or success?
That's a lot. Because I like to reflect. So every time I reflect, I looked at, you know, that's why I say everything happens for a good reason. That's my phrase, right? As much as when it's happening, you can't see it. But after it, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I can tell you this story. This is one of them. I have plenty, I can tell you. I actually plan to write a book about all this that happened to me. So before we were coming to Canada, right? We moved here in 2008, my family and myself. At that time, we had the two boys. And so, you know, in preparation for our paperwork, our passport and everything, one of the things that I wanted to do was to make sure that we, that time, because we have a Malaysian passport. So in order to go to the US, we need a US visa, right? So I got to make sure we apply before we moved here, you know, as a permanent resident. Mm. So long story short, sent an application. My son's application for the visa was rejected. I already had one, so I didn't have to apply. But then my son's, their visa were rejected. So I remember coming home that day crying, literally. And the reason I was crying, one of the reasons, I know it sounds absurd what I'm going to tell you, but one of the reasons was one of my dreams is to bring my kids to Disney World. And it felt like that was like completely gone. Like I cannot ever bring them there because they cannot get the visa, right? And So what happened was they couldn't get a visa. So I started thinking of ideas how to, you know, get the visa for them. And I didn't even know why we were rejected because, you know, we've never done anything. So the American embassy then said, when we went to Canada in 2015 to claim our permanent resident, but we moved back. We didn't stay there. We just claimed our permanent resident and we came back to Malaysia at the time. But we did a turnaround in the US. They call it a turnaround. We just went to the border and just turned to come back to the Canada to claim our permanent resident. And that was advised by our lawyer at that time. But apparently because we did a turnaround, they flagged us that we didn't have, my children didn't have a visa because we did a turnaround. And that's the reason, you know, they couldn't get the visa. So I was reaching out to everyone, you know, but we had to leave. I had to leave for Canada because we have to come and, you know, be a resident. Otherwise we'll lose our residency. And just a few days, I think before we left, I saw this ad on a newspaper saying that, you know, someone from the U.S. Embassy was going to give a talk in, where's that place with Sogo? I can't remember, in downtown. Anyway, so we went there. After his talk, I went and talked to him. I said, can you help me? I need to get my visa for my kids, right? And then, you know, he was very busy. He gave me his card, but then we couldn't get in touch. I left for Canada. So still looking for solutions. I wrote an email to this guy who I got his card from, right? And so thankful he responded, but he was actually moved from the Malaysian US embassy to somewhere in the Middle East. So he's no longer in Malaysia. But I'm glad that he responded. And I said, let me connect you with some of my colleagues in Malaysia. And then they reinvestigated the whole thing and said, okay. And but thanks to him, they said, we will give you the visa.
Nice.
But I was already in Canada, right? And then I decided, okay, I need to go back and get my kids' visa. And the mom, as a mom, I could do it. So, because my kids are already in school in Canada at the time. So I went back, got their visa. And actually at that time, I actually presented a Money New. It was just the right timing, April. I went back. And I was introduced to a businessman at that time because I went back by a friend. And long story short, I met this man, this businessman. He got so excited that he offered me to his to become his country licensee for his business. It's a jewelry business. So he actually gave me cash, $5,000 upfront, gave me 200,000 ringgit worth of product to open his business in Canada.
Wow.
And that was the start of our business in Canada. So see, you never know.
Wow, the synchronicity.
Yes. So as much as at that time I felt like I was a failure, I was a terrible mom, I, you know, all that thing was shattered. But yeah, it you know, it turned out to be a good thing.
Nice. Amazing story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I really felt devastated as a mom at the time.
Okay. Next question. So what is one of your most worthwhile investments if you've ever made? Like, this can be anything.
Oh, will always be my kids.
Ah.
Always my kids. My kids are really dear to me. They, you know, a lot of what I do, I mean, you know, they do drive me. I want to create a world that works because I want to create it for them. You know, I want them to have a great life. So my kids, you know, investing in my kids is the best thing, and will continue to be the best thing ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Next question. So if you can travel back in time and only meet your 15-year-old self and give one advice, what would it be?
What would be that advice? I would say be curious. Be curious of everything and everything will be okay. Everything will be fine, you know, because I've gone through many different hardships and traumas and, you know, I'm okay. So that's what I will tell her. Be curious and everything will be okay.
Nice. So what is your proudest moment in life?
My proudest moment. There's so many. You know, like I said, giving birth to my kids, it's a proudest moment already. You know, my kids are dear to me. I can talk about that a little bit. You know, I used to think that I cannot have children. And that resulted because of a sexual molestation that I had when I was growing up. So because I was molested as a kid, I always felt I was broken, something was wrong with me, you know. And again, that really perpetuated how I saw myself, eroded my self-worth, right? And again, you know, not that's how I did love myself. You know, it really eroded me. And I lost a lot of confidence in myself during my teenage years, you know. And part of that is I felt like I couldn't have kids. And I even told my husband before I married him, I don't know I could have kids, you know. So I'm not sure. That's before I, because I met him at the time, I haven't started personal development work yet, right? So having my children, three of them, you know, I'm really proud of that and proud that I get to be a mom and get to experience them and to learn from them and to be given the opportunity.
No wonder. Nice. Cool. So next question, what makes you feel alive?
What makes me feel alive is what I'm doing right now, is seeing people thriving, living a life that's fulfilled, meaningful, and, you know, harmonious. And that's what also makes me alive, because it makes me live a life that's meaningful, that's fulfilled and satisfying. And I money can buy that. When I see people go through my program and see their shift, or just not necessarily go through my program, if I have a conversation with them and I, you know, I could add some value to them and just see, you know, I could provide something for them and contribute to them. That's what makes me alive. And so like doing this, you know, sharing makes me alive, because you know, my intent is so that I could add value to those who are listening.
Yeah, I can feel it, you know, even though we are, you know, the other side of the world, literally like 12 hours. So cool. So last two questions. So what does success look like to you?
Success for me as an individual, to me, success means I am right now, that has changed. But for me, it's having inner peace and also connected to my divine self. So I've added that as well. Used to be the inner peace part. Inner peace means, you know, there's inner harmony. I'm happy with who I am. I don't need to answer to anyone, right? That's why, you know, again, you know, that gift is so precious to have that. And now, you know, in my spiritual journey, I've come to really understand that I'm a vessel of the divine. And so to be connected deeply with the divine, to me, is success.
Wow. So the last question is, what does happiness look like to you?
Happiness, what does it look like to me? I know the word to me, what comes to my mind right now is just being me and everyone being themselves. That means their real, authentic, true self. And that's happiness, and that's joy, because that comes from your within. That's inner. It flows from within, right? And that's true happiness. And when we get to be ourselves, we don't need to answer to anyone. We don't need to, you know, how we were conditioned and trained to conform. You know, so embrace yourself. Be yourself. You know, however you see yourself and feel who you are, just be that person. That's to me, true happiness.
Nice. Thank you very much. That is the last question. I really, really appreciate you and, you know, the work that you do as well. Thank you for guesting in the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been really fun being with you. And, you know, I really enjoyed my time. And I look forward to, you know, connecting with you more.
Oh, yeah. I hope so too. Thank you very much, Rain.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.